Hey guys, before we jump in, I want to invite you to follow me on socials. You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIWillSayPod, on Instagram at WhatIWillSay, also on TikTok at WhatIWillSay, and of course, WhatIWillSay.tumblr.com will take you to my blog where you can keep up with my day-to-day pop culture takes. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. Just search WhatIWillSay to access hours upon hours of bonus content, our secret community Discord, and so much more. Or if the Patreon's not for you, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good review, or even just tell a friend about the show. All of those things help us out a lot. Thanks guys, enjoy the show. Well, everybody, welcome back to What I Will Say. This is Cam, and I'm excited to introduce to the main pod somebody who has been on the bonus pod a good little bit here in the last couple months, but has never graced us on the main pod. Good friend, mod of the Discord. You all know and love him if you're in the Discord. It's Jeffy. Jeffy, how you doing?
Hi, everyone. I'm doing great. Thanks. How's your day going?
It's okay. Went to Costco, you know, just
solid.
I go to Costco like every other day, it seems like now. But
we love that. Costco's a great place.
Yeah. Love Costco. Had some friends over last night to watch Vanderpump Rules, which, guys, let me say, whoever has been trying to sell me on this show, it is just straight people arguing about their divorces.
Oh, no.
It's not like what am I missing? Scandoval. It's just a guy who cheated.
I personally have never watched Vanderpump Rules. I do know a decent amount of queer people who are into the show, though. So mm-hmm. I feel like it's got to have something that we're missing. I don't know.
I will say, like, I've just jumped into the middle of the season with some friends and watching this random mm-hmm. episode. But it was just straight people fighting, like, the whole time and talking about their straight relationship. And I don't know what I'm missing, but I wasn't impressed. Now, there's probably an angle to it. There's probably some lore. There's probably a backstory. There's probably a vibe that I'm just not picking up on. But mm-hmm. I want to hear from you guys. Like, what am I missing? Because I was not into it.
Yeah, I have heard, I think this season's had its ups and downs, I think, potentially, unless I'm thinking of a different show where, like, the season was started off really bad, but then it got really good. So I don't know if maybe there's, like, more people tuning in than normal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm interested, too. Let's hear what people say about that.
Yeah, guys, tell me, what am I missing? Why is everybody so obsessed with this show? this week on the Patreon, just to let you guys know, we covered Quiet on the Set, which my take, I'll just tell you my broad take. You can tune into the Patreon if you want to hear more. They did not go far enough. And Dan Schneider, given like the tea that's out there about him, and we talked about that on the Patreon, like deserves far worse. And he got off easy on that documentary. That was my take. And then the episode before that, like 3 or 4 days ago, we covered some Taylor's tea that I heard recently that I've now heard it from two different people. So was like ready to share on the Patreon. So that is over on What I Will Say on Patreon. If you want to join in on any of that fun. And of course, you guys know it's April. We've got a new album coming. So we are going to be doing an insane album week for Tortured Poets Department. So if you've been looking for an excuse to throw $5 into the Patreon just to see what it's like, see if it's for you, April is going to be a good month to do it. You'll be getting lots of content and a lot of fun album related, Taylor related content. So just letting you guys know, that's what we've got going on the Patreon this month. Well, let's jump into today's actual topic. Guys, I mean, who's to say exactly what is coming on Tortured Poets Department? But if I would bet anything, I would bet that we're going to hear about Mr. Joe Alwyn on this Ooh. Album. Yeah, have you heard of him? Also known as William Bowery, maybe?
Grammy Award-winning singer-songrider?
Yeah, Joe Grammy Alwyn. Award-winning William Bowery, Joe Alwyn.
Yeah, I've heard of him, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel like before we jump into the timeline, because that's what we're doing, as you probably could discern from the title of this episode, we're covering the Toe timeline as we must, as we have to, as we owe it to ourselves so we can understand exactly what's being talked about on this album. So we can be looking for which songs those are and like what makes sense and what doesn't and like what Taylor might be referencing in some of this music.
Yeah, definitely. Little pin drops, I guess, whatever the word she's using.
Hairpin drops.
Yeah,
straight
exactly.
Ones, though.
Straight ones for Joe. yeah, because unless she's saying something that, like, I don't know, very explicitly about, like, that definitely could be tied to, like, Travis or Maddie, I'm going to believe it's probably about Joe. Mm-hmm. Just in my own bias, I'll admit it. Like, that whole album looks like it's littered with disses for him, and or maybe even praise. Who knows? I don't know what's going to come out of it. But yeah, I would be very surprised if less than half the album is about him, I feel.
I don't know that I would be. I don't know the surprise. I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, surprise is a strong word. Yeah,
I wouldn't be shocked or surprised if there's not as much about him, because I think we've been getting Joe breakup songs since Lover. Frankly, possibly even reputation. If we can
Yeah.
tie, if we can put so, give So It Goes to him, which we can't necessarily, but maybe we can.
I would give Death by a Thousand Cuts to him, like a little
Absolutely.
bit.
100%. I'm saying Death by a Thousand Cuts is about one of their earlier breakups. And Cornelia Street very much is about a big fight they had. If you believe those songs are about him, which it's like, okay, we can hold some space to say maybe not all these songs are about him. But you guys know what we do as we approach these timelines. Like, I feel like when we went through the Tilly timeline, we were like, well, I think these songs are about Joe, but let's approach them as if they're about Lily. So I think we can do that here too. We're going through the Toe timeline. We're going to approach a lot of the music as though it is about him. Gabby, let me ask you, like, what's your like meta take? What's your journey with Toe? Did you ever think he was a beard or a PR boyfriend? Have you have been on a journey with it, or what? Where are you at with Toe these days?
In these days, for sure, I believe it was a real relationship. I definitely probably had like a sliver when I was like dipping into Gaylor in general that I might have suspected him as being a beard, but then like after just the years of them being together, and especially with Grammy Gate and everything, I do fully believe that it was a legitimate relationship, that she maybe loved him more than he loved her a little bit, it seemed. I do just I don't know, I feel like What I Will Say Nation stays winning with the amount of with the things we talked about, right? Like we thought that they had broken up before just through the music and from our other tea that we have, and I believed that tea, and I believed it through the music from Taylor mainly. And so she's been telling us the entire time about their relationship. So when the news came out that they've had a bit of a rocky patch, I wasn't surprised.
Right. I mean, when they broke up officially, of course, her team was going, you know, to publications and saying, oh, they've been on and off before. And friends just thought this was another off period and they get back together because it's happened before. So, boom, What I Will Say Nation again stays winning, confirmed. And not to mention Jack telling us the day they wrote You're
That was
Losing Me.
crazy. Yeah.
And by the way, on the day that Taylor wrote and recorded You're Losing Me, we did an episode on the Patreon called like Let's Check In with Ta or the Taylor Checking In with Taylor or something. It was actually with NT. And a big part of that episode was Taylor and Joe might be in trouble. Like, we've been hearing rumors. We have some reasons to believe Taylor, some secret, you know, Project Windmill, if you know, you know, reasons to believe Taylor has been like depressed. And we think it's because of Joe, and we think it's because of this. And we put it all together and we did an entire episode that day on the Patreon about
Absolutely
how
crazy.
what problems Taylor and Joe were having. And meanwhile, what's Taylor Swift doing? She's writing You're Losing Me.
One of her most, like, I would say, like, heartbreaking breakup songs. Like, that bridge is
Truly.
pretty intense.
Truly. And so good. So good.
Yeah.
I've been on a journey with Joe when I first got into, I've been a Swiftie since like debut. I've always been a fan, kind of grew up near where she grew up, and our paths sort of would randomly cross. Like, she performed at my college when I was there. And I don't know, you know,
That's
it's not
cool.
whatever. Taylor's always sort of been a small little part of my life from 1989. Crazy about that album. But obviously, you guys probably know, got really hyper fixated on Gaylor in the summer of 2020 during what I'm going to call pandemic madness. And, you know, started this podcast and everything and started covering Taylor and Joe. And the Gaylor fandom was run by, I'm gonna try and say nicely, people who were like not and remain not as in touch with reality. And people were very convinced she was still with Carly, very convinced she was a lesbian, very convinced that most of the boys, you know, she'd been in the same room with were gay beards. And obviously, that is not what like data seems to suggest. But I came into this being like, well, everybody says Joe is a beard, he must be. And I remember being like, maybe it is kind of sus that they won't just take a fucking selfie. Maybe it is weird that they won't talk about each other in public and he won't go with like with her to red carpet events.
Yeah, that got me thinking too when I first saw, like, I was always just like, just take a selfie. It would be so good. And it's funny, I even had those criticisms, but I will say I was surprised when they broke up. I did not see that coming, other than like the, people saying he wasn't at the tour. And I was like, okay, yeah, that like is kind of convincing. But I was like, oh, they'll be fine. Like they've been dating for 6 years. So like to hear them actually break up was kind of like I was a little bit surprised because I did think they were endgame at this point.
Honestly, I was absolutely floored. I mean, we did a It's Tover, I think a 5 or 6 part series on the Patreon where I interviewed anyone and everyone who would talk to me about it. Because there was just so much to go over and so much to try and figure out. But I used to think Joe was a fake boyfriend, and then when she named him William Bowery and gave him all these credits on her music, I was like, oh, a fake boyfriend's not getting that. You know, like I just don't believe
Yeah.
that.
I know some people try to chalk it up to be more proof that he was fake because, like, maybe it's part of the contract or whatever. And I've seen the theories of, like, they were meant to go out and about and be in public, but then the pandemic happened and all this. But I don't think Joe Alwyn really does want to be super mega famous. Like, I think he wants to be famous enough to live comfortably, but I don't think he wants to be, you know, not be able to go outside famous, which is Taylor Swift.
I just think if there is a contractual relationship between Taylor and Joe Nobody, she doesn't have to pervert her music for it. And
That too.
that was convincing. Like just William Barry, I was like, she wouldn't do that. Like her whole thing right now is like getting proper credit for her music and re-recording them. And I was like, well, maybe who knows? Like, you know, Joe, who knows? But I'm in a kind of a almost emotional space where that doesn't make sense to me, and I'm gonna follow that gut instinct. And then, of course, as I got more established as like a Taylor source, and I met people in the industry, and I met people who knew things, and was even eventually offered like what I would consider to be photographic evidence that Taylor and Joe were in a real committed relationship. And by the way, Shannon seen the same evidence, and she agreed with me. Take my word for it or don't. Like, obviously, I can't go into every detail that sources have shared with me, but I have heard again and again from different sources from all over the industry that like Taylor and Joe were in a real relationship, including some photographic evidence. To make of that what you will, but.
And I agree also, like, if it was the standard for her to have the fake boyfriend be a part of her music, you know, process, we'd have a Harry Styles song. We'd have a song with, you know, different artists that she's been, you know, with John Mayer, with other,
Well, we
like
do have a John Mayer
we
song,
do have a
although
John Mayer
she
song.
didn't write on it. I mean, listen, John Mayer is a whole different thing because I think they met because he wanted to work with her on
That's fair.
music. But Joe's kind of a different situation, right? He's not a musician. So like it doesn't even make sense that, you know, that would even be a part of it. Like I actually
Well, I think Joe in an interview has said he has no musical bone in his body, right?
Right.
Like that's a whole other part of it as well.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that like William Barry isn't sus, and I do feel like it was like her sort of coddling him as he, you know, I've watched some Joe interviews and he talked about what a relief it was to get conversations with friends. And I think he thought his career was maybe ending. And I think that's part of the big depression that he went through that Hoax seems to comment on. And we'll get into these details as we go through the timeline. But overall, yes, I've been on a journey with it. Yes, I did used to think he was a fake boyfriend, but I was ignorant. Yeah, I was ignorant to the data. I didn't know. Gaylers at the time, like, and some of them still don't, but didn't keep up. Like, oh, her planes follow him everywhere. Like, she's like goes all over the country or all over the world. Sorry, I should say the planet. She goes all over the fucking planet following him around. Like, they actually are, it's like low key, but they're always together unless there's like a work thing going on for her or him, you know? So, all the data comes together. Of course, all the sort of insider information I've gotten where, like, I think. They were not always in a very healthy or happy or perfect relationship. And I think the album that we're about to get is going to go into that. You know, they were in a real relationship. And I don't, and I'm not saying like, you know, they didn't break up during Rep Tour and she had a little fling with Lily Donaldson. I'm not saying that didn't happen. I don't know for sure that it did, but I've certainly heard that. That
The
doesn't
Zoe
mean it's
Kravitz of it all
true.
too.
You love a little like, what did Zoe and Taylor get up to during the pandemic? I don't know, but I know her and Taylor were, her and Joe were on and off, right? So I'm not saying there's not room. We can't hold a little Byler joy in our hearts as we go through this, but just to set the scene, I have zero doubt that Taylor and Joe were in a real relationship. I have zero doubt. In fact, everybody sort of asks, oh, what's like the relationship you think is the most real, or what's, you know, whatever. And I always say like, the couple things I'm most certain on, and of course this is allegedly, but I strongly and am extremely certain and allegedly that like Taylor's bisexual. I just believe that to my core of cores. Now whether she uses that label or like that identity makes a lot of sense to her anymore, I can't say, but I believe that. But what I believe, I would say even a few more percentage points than that. way more than I believe in Taylor or Swiftgron or Tilly, even like any of that. I believe she and Joe were together. Like, of all the relationships, that which one's real, which one's fake, her and Joe are the highest on my list. We have over half a decade of receipts, and that is what the series is going to be all about. We're going to be going through them because who knows what is going to get mentioned in this upcoming album. So, without further ado, shout out and special thank you to You Are In Loves on Tumblr. That's You Are In Love and then an extra ES. So LOVEES on Tumblr. They are not a Gaylor or anything. So, like, let's not bring Gaylor energy to them. I don't think that would be welcome in their space, but they did write a really in-depth Taylor and Joe timeline through to at least 2022. And then I think what I will say, Nation, and by that I mean I will be filling in the rest of the blanks to finish out the timeline when we get to it. But let's go ahead and start. If you Google You Are In Love's Toe timeline or Taylor and Joe timeline, it should come up with the post Taylor and Joe in 2016. I'll link this in the blog. I'll link it in the show notes. Like, if you guys want to follow along, You Are In Love's Taylor and Joe in 2016 timeline. Googling that should result in that. But in April, based on the lyrics to Gorgeous, it's speculated that Taylor and Joe first met at the intersection of Sunset Boulevard and Vine Street, potentially at the Bowery Gastropub. Now, I'm not crazy about this because Taylor says they met at the Met Gala. So this timeline is just as speculative, almost, maybe not 100%, but just as speculative as some Gaylor timelines. Certainly the more, you know, certainly there's a lot more of this is just based in, like, Taylor and Joe are here in the same place, you know what I mean? Than some of the late stage Kayla, for example, is just like, well, they posted to Instagram 2 days apart, both wearing purple, so they're together, right? This isn't quite that level, but a lot of it is speculative. They're just taking lyrics, which I do think there was some sort of energy that Gigi Hadid was friends or dating someone who was friends with one of Joe's co-stars in one of his movies, and it is possible, like, there was a hangout. I've seen people talk about that, but if it's not in this timeline, we're not going to talk about it. So they make this assumption about Gorgeous and Sunset and Vine. At this time, Joe was in LA doing research for Billy Lynn's long half. Sorry. At this time, Joe was in LA doing research for Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. So it's possible that they met through mutual friends. This timeline speculates that she spent a lot of her time in LA that spring with Lily Aldridge. Here it is. Lily is married to Caleb Followill, and Caleb is good friends with Garrett Hedlund, who is one of Joe's Billy Lynn co-stars.
I did just find it interesting, the picture of the like Sunset and Vine like corner. Why? I mean, I understand because it's the Bowery is right there, but why doesn't the other corner work? Like, why does it have to be that corner?
Yeah, I think it could be any
It
corner,
could
but
be
I think they're
either.
drawn to the Bowery because Joe
It's
took
the
the,
Bowery.
you know, the name, the Bowery, but William Bowery. But that's supposed to have to do with the Bowery Hotel in New York City.
Right? So there's like there's too much speculation in the beginning here for me to be like, okay, they definitely met at Sunset and
Right.
Vine.
Now they are officially on May 2nd, both very publicly at the Met Gala, and I do think this is probably where they met. So, you know, this idea that Sunset and Vine refers to this kind of specific instance before the Met Gala, I don't know. Anything's possible, but she said, you know, you met me at the Met Gala. That's what you met, right? Flashback when you met me.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you're buzz cutting my hair bleach. Yeah, you're right.
Right,
That's
that's the Met
it's the Met
Gala.
Gala.
I mean, I don't know. Did Taylor have her hair bleached in April? When did Bleach Yellow start?
She said it was debuted at Coachella on Vogue. So whenever Coachella 2016 was.
April 15th to 2016. So if Bleachella was debuted at Coachella or right around that time, okay, maybe April does work. Like, if You Met Me isn't actually about the Met Gala and is actually just about when they met, maybe it does work. Maybe it does work. I don't wanna debunk too soon. But again, it's like the lyrics are gorgeous. Make of it what you will.
That's true. I do love the idea that like the Met, like that's Taylor loves a double entendre, right?
That's what people think about that song and about the Bridge of Dress. So let's see. There's a lot of dates. Joe heads back to England, and then Taylor starts dating Tom Hiddleston on June 15th. On June 24th, though, Joe and Gigi Hadid are in Copenhagen for a Vogue photo shoot. So there's the Gigi connection. They did like do a shoot together. Okay, cool. I'm trying to see. So here's the first, like, I know when we do these timelines, sometimes we get bogged down the little details. I'm trying to skip the little details unless it seems important, right? So Joe is like doing things this summer. Taylor's doing things this summer. We don't have to mention every single one.
Yeah.
So here's what's interesting. July 8th, Taylor and Tom fly commercial from LA to Sydney. That's weird to me. And it's like, why didn't she take her jet? And then I'm like, okay, not to be a little conspiratorial, but maybe she wanted to be seen with Tom because whatever's going on with that relationship, there's a huge PR element to it. Now, I'm not saying they weren't really sleeping together. Maybe they were. I don't know that I even care, right? But there's a huge public relations element to Taylor and Tom. And so this person, they're at the dentist and they're tweeting and they said, oh my God, the woman next to me at the dentist just said her sister was on Taylor's flight. And the one thing they mentioned, they're like, oh, Taylor was really nice. She met her. They shook hands. Taylor drank champagne and orange juice. Okay, cool. And she said Taylor played Scrabble on the plane. Now, later, from the Miss Americana documentary, we learn that Taylor and Joe played Words with Friends with each other, which is like online Scrabble. So was Taylor literally playing like board games with Joe while on
was she
this
flirting
flight?
Yeah, like were they flirty back and forth, Words or Friends?
I mean, the thing is, Taylor tells on herself in getaway car, you know, she said, I used him to get away from Calvin. I wanted to leave him. I needed a reason.
Yeah.
You know, I just, for whatever Taylor wants to say about always being the good girl, I think when it comes to Tom Hiddleston, you know, if they were in a real relationship, she was a naughty little bird.
They were Bonnie and Clyde. And I feel like the fact that they were so publicized, it's like, yeah, they're very much like a famous, you know, couple going and doing stuff. And she's just, yeah, letting people, like, going commercial flight is insane to think about in nowadays, right? Like Taylor Swift on a commercial flight.
Oh,
but even
she
back
could
then,
never.
She could never. But like back then, like, I still think, yeah, she definitely just wanted people to maybe see them together. And she knew from the start that she was maybe using him.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you never know. Maybe the plane
you need
needs
a good
a
rebound. And to be fair, maybe not even new. Maybe she just was like rebound, and after a few, like a month or two, was like, oh yeah, you know, this isn't serious.
Yeah, and maybe she was just trying to hurt Calvin and like rub it in his face. You know, you never know, like, why, what decisions get made, but it's interesting.
Exactly.
So Taylor spends a lot of the rest of the summer gallivanting around with Tom. And of course we get Snakegate as well. So keep all that in the back of your head. But on August 9th, Taylor moves into the Cornelia Street rental and Tom is still around a little bit. They go to Rhode Island. We get those stupid beach pics.
Iconic.
Yeah. Taylor goes to Nashville for jury duty at the end of August. So we're wrapping up the summer already. But of course, Lover, she tells on herself too. I've loved you 3 summers, honey. Now I want them all. Like, I do think she's involved. She's talking to Joe. She's thinking about like what could be going on there. And maybe Tom is fully a PR boyfriend and she is just sort of flirting with Joe as she goes along. I don't know. But
do we know about that line with the 3 summers? Was that written in 2019 or 2018?
That was written, well, it was released in 2019.
Well, yeah, because like Lover was released in 2019, but like, just curious.
I think she wrote
thinking
it,
about it.
Well, she wrote it before that summer. So you have the summer of 2016, the summer of 2017, the summer of 2018. And
yeah,
I think
that
it was
makes
written.
Sense.
Yeah, I think it was written in like the fall or winter of 2018, because we kind of see her working on it in the Miss Americana documentary. And I think that was in 2018. So it makes
okay.
sense.
Okay, that makes sense.
But then maybe it's released, so maybe she kind of pulls that back. I don't know. I guess you could say, well, she knew it was going to be released and sort of including that summer because, like, she once the song came out, she knew it'd be 3 summers. I guess you could say.
Yeah, because, like, the number doesn't matter. I feel like I've loved you 2 summers, 4 summers, 5 summers. You could say any number would work, right?
Yeah. So now there's this, like, intense conversation about, like, the dive bar day because there's a lot of mention of dive bars. On Dive Bar on the East Side, where you at? Like trying to figure out when this happened. A lot of people think it could be around the end of the summer because Joe like is tweeting at some friends saying like, "I'll see you soon." So maybe okay, maybe he's not in where they are, which would maybe be London. But then you could also say, "I'll see you soon" because your friend's coming over to go to Costco with you. So I, you know what I mean? But let me see if I can see what this tweet says and see if that makes sense to me. He says, "Thanks, man. I'll see you soon, mister." So, like, okay. Joe might be in New York City. And that's possible because Billy Lynn, he has an American movie coming out. Like, he could be doing press. Like, he could be
Could be
working on
there.
things. Like, fine. Joe might be in New York City. And Taylor is seen in New York City. So, a lot of people think this might be the dive bar night. I don't know that I care if it's the dive bar night or not. Yeah, so some toast shippers wanted to pin down exactly what night they went to a dive bar. They do some very Swiftgronian analysis, if I do say so myself. They said it was probably raining. We know this because in the Delicate music video, it's raining when she reaches the dive bar. But also, the Cornelia Street says, "We bless the rains on Cornelia Street." And you can hear the sound of windshield wipers in the song Delicate. That's interesting. I
Pretty
bet.
good.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. So they're trying to like drill out when it rained in New York City.
Yeah. I do appreciate them saying like this doesn't they're like doing the whole like it doesn't mean anything, but also like it could mean something like back and forth, which I appreciate someone who realizes if they're being, if they're reaching a bit.
On the two, so this apparently it's possible that the dive bar night where Joe Booty calls her and says, "Dive bar on the East Side, where you at?" It could be August 31st into the morning of like September 1st. Apparently, on the 2 year anniversary of this, she sang a song about beginning a love story in a cafe, a song that mentions the specific day of the week when the dive bar night supposedly took place. I guess she's saying Begin Again on Rep Tour, supposedly, maybe.
Supposedly.
But on September 2nd, Taylor starts writing Gorgeous in her Cornelia Street rental. And again, we have covered this pretty in depth on the Tilly timeline, but this timeline of songs about a new love story that is just beginning that she writes as she lives in the Cornelia Street house about someone she has just met and she's spending time with in the Cornelia Street house. And she's, you know, "By the way, I rent a place on Cornelia Street. Oh, you know, we just met, but I'm like crazy about you. We're starting a new relationship now. It's all new and we're a fresh page and we're new and we're I just met you."
I just met you.
It's never gonna work for Karlie Kloss for me. Now there are some songs on Reputation. Don't Blame Me, The Daisy. I couldn't, you know, you yeah, I would never blame someone for tying that daisy back to Karlie Kloss given their Instagram hijinks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Most of these songs, and these are all the songs we're getting at she writes. You know, while she's in this Cornelia Street place, King of My Heart, Gorgeous, all of those do not make sense for Karlie Kloss. And that has always been very clear to me. And every time we cover a timeline, I guess I just hit back on that. Maybe people are sick of hearing about it, but it is just true. September 6th, it is confirmed that Taylor and Tom have broke up and had an amicable split. And on September 6th, Taylor is writing the chorus of King of My Heart in the Cornelia Street rental. So there you go. Taylor, of course, we get those pictures of her stepping out of the gym, looking like the weight of the world has been lifted off her shoulders. And on September 4th, though, Gigi gives an interview and she mentions that she and Taylor both have a thing for British guys and like the British sense of charm. So it would make sense that Taylor's already in talks with another British guy or British girl. It could be Lily, but this episode is about Joe, so we'll give it
We
to
did
him.
Tilly. Tilly had her moment.
So here's interesting. She's been working on Gorgeous, and the original lyrics are, "I got a boyfriend, he's older than us. I haven't seen him in a couple of months. I go through phases when it comes to love. I'm nothing that you want, but I must say you're so gorgeous." And also we get the lyrics, "I haven't seen him in a couple months. My reputation precedes both of us," which is like, okay, that's more like it. If you're writing a song about Joe, my reputation precedes both of us. There you go. Like kind of bunch him in. That actually makes more sense. And of course, around, you know, she hasn't seen Tom, and I think they probably didn't see each other for a month or so. Maybe not a couple months, but like at least a month, because he's like around, you know, I think at the end of July and beginning of August, as we just covered, and not
Yeah,
much
he's
other
getting
than
on our
that.
plane, going to Rhode Island and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But so that makes sense for Tom. And then she sort of flips it and makes it about Calvin because she says he's in the club doing I don't know what. But of course, Taylor met Joe back in the Met Gala, which is when she was with Calvin. So that kind of makes sense too.
Yeah.
Now we hear more about the line changes in Gorgeous that we just mentioned. And she's working on Gorgeous throughout the month of September. She's also working on King of My Heart that same day. Meanwhile, Joe is in London. He's gone back to London, but he's hanging out with Cara Delevingne. So that's kind of funny that like he's hanging out with her friends. Well, maybe they're not hanging out, but they do both attend a Burberry fashion show in London. I should say, I don't think there's any pictures of them hanging out, but
They could have had a conversation. You could have been like, hey, you know Taylor, I know Taylor.
yeah. Taylor continues to work on the Rep album. She goes to LA because she's working with Max Martin and Shellback. Then she's back in New York City at the end of September. She's hanging out with all the usual crowd. Kara, Lorde, Suki Waterhouse, Jack is there. So they go on to say that the September 27th night where Taylor had dinner at the Waverly Inn in New York City with all those people, it's possible that this is the night that the Cruel Summer Bridge happened.
I'm fascinated.
As far as we know, there's three significant events that happened in the summer to fall of 2016: the dive bar night, the Cruel Summer outburst, and the conversation on the roof where they get serious and decide to run away to London. And I don't know that I agree with all of this, but let's see what they have to say. Because the dive bar night was at the end of August and the roof conversation in November, he looks up grinning like a devil.
What have happened between these two events? I don't know where they're.
What do they mean? Do they mean the event where Joe looks up grinning like a devil would have happened between these two events? Personally, I'm convinced it's related to their anniversary. So it might have happened the night before, and then they got exclusive the next morning. The Lover prologue says Cruel Summer is about confessions of love on a drunken night out. Since Joe was papped leaving the Bowery Hotel in May, it's likely that he also stayed there for Billie Lynn promo whenever he was in New York City throughout the spring and fall of 2016. Interesting, the Waverly Inn is a 7-minute drive from the Bowery Hotel, so she could have easily gone to meet up with him after dinner. On September 28th, it's alleged that Taylor and Joe start officially dating. Now that is because of the cover she did of what is that song? September by
Oh,
Earth, Wind, and
yes.
Fire. And she changed
The
it to
28th.
28th night of September. She did that a couple years later. And I'm open to that. It very well could be like it is possible that's when they made it official or when they started dating. However, the problem is Joe was not in New York City for this night of September, as far as I know. And Tilly Nation did all that research. Now, that doesn't mean they couldn't have been on FaceTime or texting. Gabby and I are in a long distance relationship, and she was in England. I'm in America, and we made it official like over the phone, over FaceTime. So, like, what are you gonna do? So, I'm not saying, but the fact that, like, oh, September 28th is like definitely their anniversary, and that's a proven fact. That's giving Gaylor, right? It's likely based on the data. Like, there's some good reason to believe it, but again,
It's never been official.
it's funny to watch these like hetero, Hetler or, Swiftie shippers get to sort of speak with such authority in the space, even though it's just as speculative to an extent as like Gaylor analysis, right?
And with Cruel Summer and that bridge, she never says like, I'm going home to you, I'm coming home. Even she says, I'm crying like on the way back from the bar, right? So it's just like, yeah, she could be in a car and texting him and being like, I love you. Isn't that the worst thing you ever heard? Like,
But then he looks up grinning like a devil. So I guess he did go home with her. But that
maybe they're
allegedly
on FaceTime
happens.
and he's doing things. No, I'm kidding.
No, yeah, I don't know. I feel like their analysis is fun and it's like it's good shipper
It's good.
nonsense. As you guys know, I will say sometimes, similar to like the Daisy in the Don't Blame Me, like it's good. It's like somebody that looks at that and makes a connection. I'm like, great. But the way they're talking about the dive bar night and then the Cruel Summer Bridge night, and then I'm kind of like, well, hold on, because some of these songs could just be vibes. You know what
That
I mean?
too, yeah.
There's nothing that says like it's definitely every lyric is something that actually occurred and not more of a metaphor or a vibe or a lyric that's sort of describing like the vibe of a summer or something, and the
Yeah,
vibe of
it's goes back to what is it? Mine. You know, she wasn't struggling to pay bills.
Right.
You
It's
know,
just made for a good song.
it's a good
So,
song. Yeah.
right. But they include a Dumois blind about the Bowery Hotel. It says, subject, T. Swift sightings at the Bowery Hotel circa 2016. A few years ago, I worked as a bartender at the Bowery Hotel in New York City. Obviously, we get our share fair of celebrity guests, so it wasn't really a big deal when Taylor Swift showed up to the lobby bar a couple of times. I think this was back in September or October. But I was blown away by how nice she was and how pretty she looked in person. The first time she was there, she and Gigi Hadid arrived together and were talking for hours. A guy who was presumably one of her bodyguards sat at a nearby table to make sure no one was bothering them. We also saw her a few times with Joe Alwyn, although I didn't know who he was at the time and just assumed he was a friend. They always sat in the corner away from everyone else and never stayed for too long. At the time, TS was known for always being immaculately dressed, wearing 6-inch heels while leaving the gym, etc. So it was pretty weird to see her dressed in all black, very low-key outfits. Now, of course, is there any data to like support this person as a legitimate source? No, Dumois will post literally anything she gets. So,
Yes.
like, I don't know that I even trust this.
And even if there was
However,
proof of them working at the Bowery Hotel at that exact time frame, she wouldn't post it.
right. I mean,
Right.
but like, she wouldn't have to post it if Dumas just like went on the record as like, yeah, I vet my sources and
That's
proved
true.
it, you know, by like having
Yeah.
good like data come through. Like, well, I vetted this and they said this and then it comes true. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, she
Although,
posts literally anything.
yeah, I mean, some of the stuff she says does come true. I mean, Dumas is a big Travis truther and has been since the start, which
A
got by
wrong, what
me.
is it? A broken clock is right twice a day or whatever, right? So if she just throws it out there, she's got to be right at least sometimes.
Right. I mean, when you put out like 6,000 blind items a day and like five of them are right, I'm not impressed, but
Yeah, literally.
that's just me. But again, it's something shared from Dumois. Take it into account if you believe Taylor. I mean, they think they probably were at the Bowery Hotel. Like,
Yeah,
Taylor
I
does hang out
mean,
there. It's fine. Like, they probably were, but Dumois does not vet our sources.
yeah, all this would confirm is that she's telling the truth, like, or Taylor's telling the truth.
Right. And I will say, to their credit, the person who wrote this timeline did say there's no way, since this is an old submission, there's no way of knowing if this is actually reliable, but it's fun to believe anyway. And so, fair enough. Ship your ship,
I
have your
love
fun.
this. Yeah, this person who wrote this timeline, they got a good head on their shoulders.
Yeah, which is more than you can say for other people who follow Taylor, both Gaylor or Hettler, like.
I'm pleasantly surprised for a toe timeline to not see any like absolutely crazy things.
Yeah. Well, and they do include all sorts of nonsense, but I think they do a decent job of being like, but maybe this doesn't mean anything. And maybe we don't know for
Yeah.
sure. And Dumas, you know, it could, who's to say if this is real or not? So fair
They
enough.
use allegedly, which we love.
Yeah. On October 12th, Taylor and Joe both attend the Kings of Leon concert, and we know this, they're both pictured there, so that's fine. And they go to an after party at the Bowery Hotel and meet up at a bar named Lovers of Today. I thought it was Lovers of Tomorrow. Am I wrong? Maybe
I
it's
have no
Lovers of
clue.
Today. And guess who else is there this night? Of course, Taylor Swift departs the Bowery Hotel with her friends Zoe Kravitz, Dakota Johnson, Martha Hunt, Cara Delevingne, and Lily Donaldson, and they go to the Lovers of Today speakeasy bar in New
My
York
God.
City. Make of that what you
A gaggle
will.
of gay girl.
But of course, the dykes are out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I gotta Gaylor a little bit to get myself through all this. I do think she's dating Joe at this point in time, and like they're out on a date, and that's fine. And he's hanging out with her, and that's fine. Like
We
it,
can
you
laugh
know.
at the funny coincidences. It is hilarious.
And then on October 14th, Billie Lynn premieres at the New York Film Festival, and Joe walks the red carpet and does some promo. So he's there. Like, he's in New York City. He's working. That's fine.
He's a
But he's
celebrity
also,
now.
yeah, he's a celeb now, and he's also spending time with Taylor, and that's fine. And Billie Lynn flopped, and that's fine too, although it kind of ruined his career a little bit, but whatever. In mid-October, Taylor writes and records Delicate around this time. On October 22nd, she performs with a cold, and this is some fun fucking shipper nonsense. It's October 22nd, and Taylor is performing at that Grand Prix in Austin, Texas, which is like a race car thing, I think. And this is one of the very few performances she did that year. And of course, she says nobody saw me physically for a year, but like she performed at this performance. And she has a cold. And Joe, a week later, did interviews in Taiwan for his movie, and he had a cold too. So it's like,
They must be fucking. That's proof right there.
But
That's
the thing
it.
is I respect it. That's
I
the
do
same
respect it.
energy that like it rained when Taylor and Diana
Yeah.
went to
Oh
see
yeah.
that fucking movie, Hunger
But
Games,
everything
and
has changed.
all I
Yeah.
know is pouring rain and everything has changed. Like, I respect the shit out of that.
It's
Like,
great.
it's reachy, but it's fun and I respect it. On October 23rd, Taylor attends Drake's 30th birthday party. Several media outlets possibly theorize about a possible relationship between them, but the rumors are denied straight away. On October 28th, Taylor flies from LA to New York City and then from New York City to London, but she stays completely under the radar and isn't spotted anywhere in London. So I guess they're just watching her planes. At that time, some blogs and gossip sites theorized that she's back with Tom. So people were watching her movements, watching her planes, but nobody, knew she might have been going to meet up with Joe. I'm
This saw her
like,
going to London, right?
yeah. Or was she meeting up with Lily
Meeting with
Donaldson? I
Donaldson.
gotta do it. I just thought, you gotta let me do it. No, she's meeting up with Joe. She's meeting up with Joe. It's fine. On October 31st, Taylor returns from New York City, from London to New York City. She dresses up as Deadpool, looking very daddy for Halloween, and we know who she was hanging out with that night. Don't get me started because we already did the timeline on Lily. Now, Camila Cabello is asked about this party on Jimmy Fallon, and she, all the pictures we have are just of women, but Camila has to heady it up, and she says, "So these two like attractive guys come in, and so I just went to the bathroom, and I had this black turtleneck." I had this black turtleneck and pants, and I just took the costume off. Then I came back and I was like, "Oh, it was too hot to wear the costume." So Camila was trying to cuten herself up for the two attractive guys that came. However, we know it's probably not Joe because I believe he was having to go to Asia for a fucking movie premiere or something. So like, a lot of people think it was Joe. There's no data to support that it was Joe,
Yeah.
but people theorize, oh, he's one of the two attractive guys that showed up, but I don't think there's any reason to think that. And in fact, I think data would suggest that he couldn't have been there. Lily Winslow. Anyway, the next day, her jet flies to London and back, and it's pretty likely that it was to drop Joe and his friend back in the UK. Again, okay, maybe the jet is moving, but he had to go to Taiwan the next fucking day. So I don't know, like,
I get exhausted if I have to like travel. I don't even know. Like, I feel like the idea of doing a private jet to go to a Halloween party, which I mean, maybe, clout chasers out there, let me know. Like, would you do this? Would you fly all the way to a party it up, live it up, and then fly all the way back to your main area to then go on a different, probably like commercial plane, maybe even,
commercial
and fly
flight
to,
to fucking Taiwan and
Taiwan to
China.
work after a potential night of being up drinking and partying,
Yeah. And I
I
don't
would
know
die.
what her jet was doing, but she had been in London. So it's possibly they were going back to get some of her effects, or possible that like Andrea had been in tow and like went and came back. And like, I mean, her jet moves around and moves a lot of
With
different people around.
all of the fiasco with her jet recently, if there's not a picture of her getting on the plane, she might not even be on it.
Well, she's not. They're saying it's Joe and his friend who got flown in for the
Yeah.
party and then flown back.
Two,
I
yeah,
guess it's
definitely,
possible. I guess it's
potentially.
possible. I guess it's possible, but what? Who knows?
What if
It is the tow
her jet was just
timeline.
doing the friendly thing and, putting a bunch of random people on there and shifting them across to London? I don't know. There's too
I can't.
many.
I don't believe that happened just because I
Okay,
can't
I don't
imagine
know.
Taylor, but it could have been Joe. It really, listen, Taylor and Joe were really together. We've kind of been under the assumption that he was never at this party. I don't know who her jet is moving around, when or where or not. They don't have a receipt in
I
this
need at least
timeline.
one attendance at the party, one person to say, "Oh yeah, he was there." And that would be it. But like no
Yeah.
one has ever said that.
No, I mean, what cracks me up is they've included this fanfic, including fully with like dialogue about why she dresses Deadpool and he must have dressed as Spider-Man. But again, this is like fully like this person has written dialogue for Taylor and Joe.
Yeah.
So that is like shipper fanfic. I don't know why they're including it in this timeline, but we can't, I guess we all get to have our little fanfic moments,
I do love the
but
fanfic, and I do have to laugh though, because they're fanficking it as like Spider-Man and Deadpool and that bromance and that fanfic. And I'm like, that's kind of a gay analysis.
Yeah, and I get like, who knows? Who knows what Taylor likes or what Joe, what kind of costumes Taylor, you know, Joe wanted Taylor to wear around him. And who am I to judge?
Right? Yeah.
But they do say the next day her jet flies back to London, flies to London and back. It's pretty likely that it was to drop Joe and his friend back in the UK. I have never seen a receipt on those jet movements. Do they exist
Yeah.
somewhere? Maybe, but it was not included in this timeline. Like they don't show like the Taylor Swift Jets tweet or like the flight maps that would have been posted that day or taken that day. So we're just having to take their word for it. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. It's November 11th. Taylor, Andrea, Claire Winter, Elliot, who's one of her dancers that we actually have a little connection to here at the pod. Some of the Haim girls, they go to the ArcLight Theater in LA to see Joe's movie. Now, this is, I think, the premiere that Taylor went to, and at the time, people were like, "Oh, well, she's maybe friendly with Kristen Stewart because Kristen's in the movie, and maybe that's why she went." But of course, she probably went to support Joe. So, is Joe at the Halloween party? Very well, maybe he is. Like it's fine. They're like a thing right now. That, you know, is she having little dalliances or a little flirtation with somebody? Maybe, but like she is a thing with Joe right now. So we shouldn't dismiss the Halloween party too much. It's just there's not enough receipts for me to like trust that analysis 100%, but that's okay.
Even if we did dismiss it, I don't think that dismisses the fact that they're a thing already. I just don't believe he was at the party.
Right. And maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. It doesn't really
Yeah.
matter, but that's how it's kind of
Yeah.
laid out. On November 19th, somebody takes a picture of Taylor with a Polaroid. It gets included in the Reputation like photo book or album or something, and says, "How would you ha feel having a song taken about you?" It is right. It's included in one of the Reputation magazines and credited to Frosty Crew Photography. Joe and his group of friends call themselves the Frosty Crew. That's been confirmed on like Twitter or Facebook or something like that. So Joe probably took this picture. He used to go by the name Spencer Frost, as like an inside joke with his friends. So, you know, the Frosty Crew. It's probably Joe. Fine. He took that picture.
I love that guitar in the picture too. It's such a cool guitar.
Yeah. Now here's something that's interesting. We're closing in on the end of November. It's November 23rd, and Taylor is spotted walking around New York City with Kelsea Ballerini. And it's the last time Taylor is seen for nearly 8 weeks, according to this timeline. However, that's not true because we got Taylor's Thanksgiving celebration on Instagram. Now, I guess it's the last time she's seen publicly, but they have left out this entire Thanksgiving celebration on this timeline. But I guess it's because Joe is not there at all. So we got Taylor at Thanksgiving. This timeline's inaccurate. Like we did see her like via her friends' stories and Instagram posts and all of that, make of that what you will. Of course, Lily Donaldson was there, but Joe is not. So it's December 13th, and they speculate that Joe got Taylor a silver J necklace from Tiffany and Company for her 27th birthday. Taylor starts to wear this J necklace after, and of course, we get the lyric, "I want to wear his initial on a chain around my neck." Yeah, fair enough. Taylor, we're pretty sure, celebrates her birthday in London because the Hummingbird Bakery in London, who is known for making authentic American cakes and desserts, did her birthday cake, and they posted to Twitter about it. And it's like, okay, like Taylor was in London for her birthday. And on December 29th, there's another Polaroid that ends up in a Rep magazine. It's dated December 29th, and it was the house that she's in has been like identified as the rental house in London, in Hampstead, London. That they stayed at for a while. Now, these people speculate that it's three exes for 3 months together because it's December 29th, so September 28th. So I guess that's 3 months. But I think it's just kisses because, like, British kissing.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I do love the idea. I think it's not a terrible take, but I do think, yeah, just XXX is a very normal kisses.
Right. Now, December 31st, Taylor and Joe celebrate New Year's Eve together and throw a party at that same rental in London. There is a leak that has photos of them getting ready that was leaked from Selena's iCloud. This is like legitimate. Like, this is them and a real
I
thing. And
know.
I know people who sort of follow Selena more closely, and it's like, yeah, her iCloud got hacked and these pictures were on it.
I
So
didn't even
make.
realize actually there's so many. I clicked on the link. I thought there was only the one, but there's like
Yeah.
six.
Yeah, and there's one where they're kissing, and this is so funny. I interviewed a Gaylor for the Patreon once, and the episode was so unhinged I never put it up. But I remember her saying, and I like re me regretting interviewing this person just because they were so like deep Gaylor. But I remember them saying like, I would never believe Joe and Taylor are together ever unless their sex tape leaked. And I was like, well, there's naked photos of them kissing. Have you seen those? Do you want to see that? Like, you know, like they're shirtless and kissing. And she was like, no.
I don't
I
want to see
like, they
that.
said to me, they were like, you know, oh, I would need like photographic evidence. And by the way, this isn't the photographic evidence I've talked about. Like the photographic evidence I've seen that suggests Taylor and Joe were real was like, is not a public matter.
Oh.
Just to clarify, although I think this is great evidence too. Like it was literally hacked from Selena's iCloud. They're kissing and like Joe's shirtless and shaving. And I mean, people are like, haha, gay best boyfriend, gay boyfriend, and like lesbian getting ready together. And I'm like, yeah, lesbians and gay men love to kiss all the time. They're kissing on the lips in some of these photos. But I just
You know, they
remember,
genuinely look like they are together in these
yeah,
pictures.
they do. Like, whatever. Like, Taylor's wearing a pink wig. It's fine. Like, they're taking pictures together. Who gives a fuck?
I kind of understand it now from her though, because he does look really good.
He looks good. He looks boyish. He looks strong and handsome. It's fine. Like,
Yeah.
whatever. But I just remember a Gaylor being like, I would never believe Taylor and Joe unless like there was a sex tape. And I was like, well, there's naked pictures of them kissing. And she was like, oh, not that. And
Not that.
they were literally like, no, not that way. Not like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but it's right there. Like you just said, this is like your standard of proof. No, it's not a sex tape, but like it is leaked intimate pictures of them, you know.
Like we
And
would never
let's
gotten those pictures. We wouldn't
right,
have. The
fully
real qu the
hacked.
question I do wonder a little bit more is why did Taylor send those to Selena, I guess? Or why did Selena have them unless maybe took them on her phone? Like maybe that's her phone and it.
Yeah, who could say for sure? I mean, Selena, as we know, is like goes through a journey with her brain.
Yeah.
My mind and me, you know, the Selena Gomez story, I think it's probably not a good call to save pictures that Taylor like maybe was buzzed. You know, this is giving like pre-party buzz, like they've been drinking throughout the day, maybe, and they're just getting ready for the party. But yeah, this is them getting ready that night. Taylor has the pink wig on, and I think some other people at the party were wearing pink wigs. Yeah, Joe's friends post photos from the party, and the theme had something to do with snowmen costumes and purple and pink wigs. So we get everybody's dressed up, Joe's dressed up. Taylor's not in any of these pictures because I think they were still trying to be like, you know, keep it on the DL. But there is a blurry photo that seems like it could be from this night in the Rep magazine. And
Oh,
a couple.
I can see how it's her face with the pink wig. I see what they mean. Yeah.
I will also say these a picture from this night was part of Taylor's background on her computer when she was doing the rep secret sessions. And that was scripted. That was set up. Multiple secret sessioners, if they're telling the truth, which I'm gonna assume they were, said that like Taylor would set up her laptop to play the songs and then pull like her laptop up, and then the background would be a picture of her and Joe, like from this night, I think. And then she'd be like, oh, oops, you guys weren't supposed to see that. Tee-hee. But she did it multiple times because she did want people talking about her and Joe. And I mean, I think she did, right? Like, I think she, because of Joe's privacy, she was a bit irritated that she couldn't do her usual thing about, like, look at who my album's about. And like, I think she likes to do that because she likes to heap praise on her partner. And I think she likes to do that because it helps sell records. And
Yeah.
so I do think a
Oh,
big
yeah.
part of the Reputation secret sessions, and I do believe people when they said, tell everyone that every song on this album is about my angel boyfriend, Joe, and don't believe what anybody else says. And I do think that the Reputation prologue, where she was like, if you guys think this song is about a man, you'll be wrong. Except she didn't quite say that, but she was like, there will be slideshows of men, you know, that say these songs are about them and they'll all be wrong. Except she's stupid because she and Joe were already a public pu couple by the time that Reputation came out, and everybody thought most of the songs were about Joe anyway. But for whatever reason, I think she thought people would think most of the songs were about Calvin and Tom. And you know, I think she sort of clumsily was trying to make sure everybody thought they were about Joe because some
It's
of
the
them
same as
were.
1989 as well, right? She said it wasn't about boys, but then
Then it literally was.
yeah, so
Yeah.
yeah.
But it was better for marketing to say, no, the song's about being young and like in love with the city of New York and hanging out with my friends. And like, yeah, some of it is like, sure, I heard New Romantics, but like most of that album is ostensibly about Harry
You are
Styles.
in love.
Yeah, like,
Like,
you know, this love, like it's
this
supposed to
love.
be about Harry Styles. So I think it was just better for her image because she was getting you know, tagged as like this boy crazy, like man eater.
Yeah.
For her to say things like that about the 1989 album. And similarly, I think she was just like trying to do some sort of guerrilla work that usually, like, she's getting papped with someone, she's getting spotted out with someone, she's, you know, there's interviews where they're like mentioning each other. And, you know, she and Joe never did that. So I think that is why some of the silly nonsense, like about Reputation secret sessions, happened. Of course, Gaylors take it to mean like, oh, she's just desperate to make people think it's about Joe. And, but it's really all about Carly. And it's like, no, I don't think that's what's going on. But she talks about this party in the song explanations for New Year's Day when she did the Reputation session at the iHeartRadio studio in 2017. She said, New Year's Day, we threw a big party, a big New Year's Eve party in London this year. And I was thinking about how everybody talks about and thinks about who you get to kiss at midnight. Like, it's this big romantic idea of who are you going to kiss at midnight, ring in the new year. And I was like, oh, that's very romantic. But I think there's something even more romantic about who's going to deal with you on New Year's Day, who's willing to give you Advil and clean up the house with you. I think that states more of a permanence. So I was thinking about that. And I wrote this song called New Year's Day. She also said at a different event in 2018, but I found myself 2 New Year's Eves ago, I found myself in the midst of a very incredible 3 a.m. moment where you feel like you're invincible and you end up jumping in a pool in the winter and you feel super untouchable in that moment. And then the next morning you feel very fragile and you're like, this is love. This is what love really is. Like, we want to find someone to kiss at midnight and that's cool or whatever, but who's going to hang out with you the next day when you're like Advil or nothing?
She really
And
loves that Advil.
she really does. And that is
Advil
gonna,
sponsor.
I know, right? Advil sponsored the pod. Taylor Swift sponsored the pod. I don't know.
Taylor, please.
Joe Alwyn, William Bowery, write the theme song for the pod, please. But that is gonna bring us to the end of 2016. I feel like we have laid a good foundation. And one thing this timeline doesn't talk about, but we have touched on in our Project Windmill series, is like how fraught this first 6 months the music seems to suggest the relationship is. You have Delicate with her basically begging for permission to just think about him. Is it cool that you're in my head? Please don't go. Stay here, honey. I don't want to share. And that he's just booty calling her all over New York City, and she's like begging him, you know, to take her more seriously, maybe we might say. And I think that's going to be important as we get the album. I will really be a bit surprised if some of the Joe songs don't talk about that it was fragile all the way through, that they were never 100% solid, that there was always some anxiety. And at least given what I've heard about how they broke up while they were on Rep Tour, and given her, you know, big depression she goes through when the Lover album comes out, that maybe seems like it was associated with him. Given some of the content on the Folkmore albums, you know, I think we're going to hear more about that on the Tortured Poets Department if it does go on and on about Joe. But I guess we'll just have to see. Jeffy, where are you standing? We're half a year through the timeline. What do you think? What are your thoughts on Taylor and Joe?
Yeah, I definitely I appreciate going through this timeline because like I don't think I know of a whole lot about their relationship. And I just even like if I do go into this place where I believe, you know, yeah, almost believe everything in this list to be true or even to believe all the things with them, I totally get like why Swifties were heartbroken when they broke up, even just from this first little thing. You're like this that New Year's Eve or New Year's Day explanation I have never heard before. And so to hear, you know, explain it that way, I just kind of had a moment of like, oh yeah, I get it a little bit more. So I'm excited to keep getting into it and learning more as we keep going. But yeah, the Tortured Poets Department, I think we'll definitely, I would be surprised if we don't get some sort of, yeah, it's been fragile all the way through, or I would love to hear some, maybe some more, like did someone cheat on someone? Was there more proposal marriage stuff going on? Because I do love the little hints she's given us already. But yeah, I'm excited to keep going on with it as we keep going.
I feel like we're picking up some good information, and I will be interested to see what lens she looks back. Does she look back with more bitterness now at
Yeah.
New Year's Day? And does she have something new to say about that day? About, well, you know, I wanted you to be attentive that day, but maybe you weren't as attentive. You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe New Year's
Has
Day is
love changed from being red to
right.
golden back to red for
Yeah.
the
Yeah. So I think I'll be interested to see how she looks over this time, this first 6 months,
Yeah.
which again, like Swifties and people who follow Taylor kind of view as like a golden 6 months, unless you look at the music, which we thankfully have done
Anxiety.
on our Project Windmill series on the Patreon, if you know, you know. But that it was toxic from the start, the Cornelia Street breakup, the fraught sort of anxiety. She approaches a lot of Reputation tracks. Call it what you want. They wouldn't even commit to being like boyfriend,
Yeah.
girlfriend. It was just, we'll call it what you want. You know, worrying and angsting. Do the girls back home touch you like I do? You know, not being able to get that commitment from him again. And
Well, but the fact that New Year's Day is the final song on the album, I mean, maybe, yeah, the whole album was this anxiety inducing, and at the end, they found that love, right? I don't know
no,
if that's.
because what does she say in New Year's Day? She says, you know, she angsts and worries. Please don't ever become a
That's true.
laugh that, you know, I could
Oh,
recognize
yeah. I don't
anywhere.
listen to that
A
song enough.
stranger, please don't ever become a stranger whose laugh I could recognize anywhere.
But the
Please,
whole
you
thing is
know,
just anxiety.
don't
Nothing.
read the last page. It is
Yeah.
so, because while the element in that song is like, yeah, like who are you going to spend the next day cleaning up with? That's the love that the song, it sort of ends on the note of, please don't read the last page. Because
Yeah.
maybe I think deep down she always knew an end was coming, right? I don't
Yeah.
know. I don't know. Maybe not. But like, even the
I get
loving
it.
energy of who are you going to spend that next day with, that it's not the party anymore, but you still want to be with them. Yeah, that's great. But begging someone, don't read the last page. Please, please, please don't become a stranger.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
Taylor.
Taylor. So I think maybe that song doesn't even need to be revisited because she was so honest about her anxiety in
Yeah.
it. But I think it's always been there. And I think it'll always, you know, when it came to Joe, it was always going to be there. And that's why they're not together anymore. But I think we'll learn more on the next album. So hope you guys are excited for the next episode. We're going to cover 2017 and maybe a little more, depending on what the timeline allows for. And get excited this month for Torture Poets Department Week. You guys know we go off, we go crazy. Usually we end up with leaks. If you're in the Discord, you will probably end. I mean, I can't make any promises, but we have some very clever people who always end up with leaks.
It's really nice
So,
to at least I want to say 24 hours before it drops, which is a
yeah.
nice little like, especially I mean with Beyonce's album, like it dropped in New Zealand before it dropped here, so you have to just kind of sit there and wait for it to
Yeah.
drop. So hopefully, yeah, there might be some interesting stuff going on in the Discord
I
as
feel
we get
like we've
closer.
had every album since Red, Taylor's version, a day early,
I feel like
except
that's
maybe
probably
not Speak
right.
Now. I don't think we got Speak Now early, but we
And
definitely
we
got
didn't.
1989 early and we
Yeah,
got
we didn't get
Midnights
the
early.
3 a.m. tracks though, because
No,
that
we
was a
didn't get those.
surprise.
Right.
Yeah.
But and you know, usually the night before an album in the Discord, we'll jump on voice chat. It's just gonna be
Be
a
fun.
great month.
It's
It's gonna be a
fun.
great week. Get excited. And yeah, with all that said, everybody please stay safe in 2024. Please get registered to vote in 2024 and gaslight geeky girl boss immediately. Bye, everybody.
Bye.